Right. Today is the, it's in March, and it's the fifth, the th one, two, three, fifth of March. Your brain is a very, very naughty animal. And I had my croak, which is a word which I have succinctly not been able to say properly.
Your brain is constantly making tricks on you all the time. In fact, the brain and me are two completely different people, as I realize.
My stroke took place in the first month of the year on the third thick fit 20 10 t 13th of the work of the work first want of the work. So it's been going well. I've had now, it's now six, roughly about 6 to 8 6 to 8 one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, late, eight, weeks since I had my stroke. And as you can see, I'm not very, as you can see, I can't speak brilliantly at the moment, but I get better all the time.
We're on the stroke unit at Trillis Hospital at the moment. And just beside you there is the occupational therapy remedial room. And just further down here are the beds. Nick was admitted here very soon after he had a stroke. And in fact, I can show you where Nick's bed was.
And there are several things that I've noticed, that realised about the brain, which you may not know. The first is that the brain is incredibly lazy. The brain is. It won't do anything unless it has to.
We have 20 patients at any one time. And for the first few days of his admission, he was in the acute bay, where we can keep a closer eye on patients.
But I've had a fantastic day today. I've a really good day to speak. And tomorrow I probably won't be able to say a word. And the real victim of all this is poor old Jane, because as soon as it's just me and Jane, for some reason, my brain stops and says, don't worry, don't, it's only your wife, for God's sake. You don't have to worry about her. And so, you know, she ends up with the complete...
Gobbledygook.
Yeah. And, but it's not me, it's the brain. I'm sorry, Mike, it's not my fault.
Shall I try and bring her to the text now?
Well, I'll do it if you like. You can see just
make the coffee.
I was woken up by him making an extraordinary noise. He was trying to speak, but he couldn't at all. And it was kind of a sort of grunt groan, like that. And then I said, Nick, are you all right? And then I think he must have tried to get out of bed, and he fell out of bed. And I knew... instantly, I knew there was something wrong. And the funny thing was that I'd been worried about him all that week. He'd been looking really puffy and pasty and really not looking well at all. And I wasn't really very surprised. So he was lying on the floor, and I just jumped over the side of the bed, and I could tell immediately that, you know, he couldn't move his arm at all. It was completely gone, and his leg. So I just knew it was a stroke.
Now, I'm going to try and sigh a little bit about who I am and why I'm making this recording.
I am Nick Dark,
and I am a playwright, and I am 60 no, 20, 50, is that one? 50 and 2 years old. And I've been I have worked as a playwright for about 30 years. I've been working as a playwright. I write mainly for the theatre, and quite on also of on the radio. My plays have been produced all over the world by the main for theatre companies in this country.
The next thing was I woke up Henry, who was supposed to be going back to university, and said, "Look, Dad's not well. I'm going to phone the ambulance." And I remember when we got there, this doctor said, "What do you think has happened?" And I said, "Well, I think he's had a stroke." And he said, yes, that's what's happened." And there was something in the way that he said it that made me realise that it was very serious, you know.
And really the next thing I remember was in the emergency room, and apparently, and I didn't realise this, I didn't know it, but the first thing that I said, was able to say, was the word fuck. And apparently even old ladies say it, and it comes from the deepest of your mind, because it's to do with fighting, and it's to do with trying to keep control over yourself. And I was at the top of my voice, I was just saying over and over, apparently, the word fuck.
And that he just couldn't say anything else. And it was so expressive, because you could hear in the different ways that he was saying it. He was saying, "What's happened to me? Am I going to be all right? You know, are you coming along too?" Or all these questions. But it was all expressed in one word.
And then what I remember was this incredibly beautiful, I thought it was an angel, very close, saying, "Mr. Dark, please, would you mind not saying that word quite so loudly?" And I'd say, "Wah!" And then she'd say, "Mr." And I'd say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't, what did I say? And she'd say, don't. Oh, no, Mr. Dark. No, please, Mr. Dark. No, please, no, I'm terribly sorry. No, Mr. Dark, please. No, Mr. Dark, please." I remember this. Anyway, the way to just do it was she got hold of the oxygen mask and just bang it on my face.
One got a feeling that he was frustrated that he couldn't say exactly what he wanted to say, although he had quite a good understanding of the questions I was asking him. He had some weakness of his right arm and leg, but that wasn't particularly severe, and I think the most prominent symptom was his speech problem. My name is Jacinta Morgan. I'm a consultant physician, and I am currently in charge of the stroke unit at Royal Cornwall Hospital. Stroke is a very good name for the disease. It strikes people out of the blue, and it floors them, usually. But the most encouraging aspect of stroke is that people make a recovery. It may not be a complete recovery, but it is a recovery. And that recovery is at its quickest in the first few days, weeks and months. So what can be a tremendous pessimism can turn to optimism within a few days.
Hello, it's the sixth of January, February, March. The 6th of March. It's early in the morning, before 7 o'clock, and the wind's quite strong. It's in the east. It's going to be another cold day, and the sea isn't too small. And I'm hoping at the end of the week that I can take my boat out to Treschow. as you can see, that I'm actually, although I'm not speaking particularly brilliant already, and I can speak better than this. I'm actually speaking a lot better than I was last night, when I was very quiet, when I was ready to go to sleep. The reason for that is that you do tend to get tired very quickly, and at the end of the day, all you want to particularly do is either go to bed or watch some crap on the telly.
I knew right away that there wasn't anything gone, that Nick was the same person, completely the same person. And
I think she was as disappointed about that as I was.
No, I was quite relieved. One big thing we said when Nick was in hospital, there was said to each other that it was going to be an adventure. This next year, we thought it would be, you know, maybe a year. That's how far we looked ahead, really. And we just thought that it was going to be an adventure. We'd just see what happened and not worry about anything, because, you know, he'd come through it. The disaster had happened. And from now on, everything was just going to get better.
And if you really, really try to do something and make the brain work, it doesn't do it. It's quite willful too, the brain. It's lazy and it's willful. That's two things that it is, the brain. And the brain doesn't mind me telling you about this at all, because it has no pride either, the brain. In fact, it's bloody useless. I don't know. We don't really need one anyway. But and as evidence of this, and everybody does it, you don't have to have a stroke to realise this, that if you really try to find a word, somebody's name or something, there's a thing for it. They say it's on the tip of my tongue. And then if you completely, you say, oh, forget it, I'll just go think of something else. And an hour later, it comes back, because the brain, and it's something that I've always known as a writer, that the more you try to make something happen as a writer, the less it'll ever happen. And the best plays I've ever written are the ones that have been the easiest written. There's no two ways about it. The brain doesn't like work.
You know, obviously we'll use a bit of time now to go through the test, and it's going to be a confrontational naming test, which is not the most fun in the world.
No.
But are you still willing to have a go, or do you think?
Yeah, well, no.
Yeah?
Yeah, fine. Okay. Anything you throw at me, I'll have a go at it.
From then on, you had speech therapy twice a week for the next 6 months, initially with Sue Newman, and then she had a student working with her, Marianne Boss-Clark.
It's the 6th, isn't it?
Yeah.
6th of March, 2001.
Start?
Yeah, make start.
It's a bed. Fee. First of all. Mushroom.
Yep.
Mushroom. Beaux-Arts School. On a plane, fetish, on a hatchet.
We did quite a lot of assessment initially, and the frustration was largely because he couldn't find the words he was trying to say, or the words that he did say came out as a collection of unassociated sounds, which we call neologisms.
They sound Joycean. They're very strange words.
Okay.
It's not a pudge, it's a pile.
Good.
Nick would quite often get some of the sounds right in the words, but not all of them. So for key, we had re or pre. For harp, we had par. For house, we had count. For pyramid, pimmons. For axe, we had raksh. Butterfly was bishmimun.
House, riskaibel.
Okay.
You play it was also quite a lot of the time very, very funny.
Yeah, very
funny. Not only my immediate family, but pretty well everybody who come into contact laugh at my expense, at the way that I speak. And sometimes I get the words all wrong.
like, instead of saying day job, he said gay gob. Flapjacks were crap scraps. Brad Pitt, he called bread fits. Tomato ketchup was cherry pickup. And hot cross buns, hell frost buns.
And instead of saying, oh dear, you know, what a poor bloke, you mustn't laugh, he's a stroke victim, they just go completely belly up and just laugh. And I'm saying, what are you laughing about?
Yeah. You said the other day, instead of saying, have you changed the clocks, you said, have you adjusted your cocks?
Actually, just imagine, I have to speak. I'm the chairman of the parish council. Imagine if I get that wrong.
Nearly there.
You know, most people don't realise that they've got this character inside their skull doing things which, without it, would make your life much easier. And it's a perverse character, willful. I do like the brain. I have a very soft spot for my brain, but that's not to say that I can't criticise it. And I mean, sometimes he's great. When I'm asleep, he does a wonderful job. Or she. I think it is a he, actually. I can't go. But don't go down that way. I'm just coming down the steps now onto the beach. This house is literally a few feet away from the beach, and this actually, we're actually now on the beach. It's the 11th of Gloon, the one after May. Gloon. I'm just talking a little bit about fishing. And what it kind of means to me and where I'm sort of coming from in terms of fishing. Because living where I do, right beside the sea, literally, it seems amazing to think to me that anybody who was born up there shouldn't be interested in fishing. And the thing was that I started fishing because my father had a boat. I've always had a boat. And I could row a boat before I could ride a bike, and I think I caught my first lobster when I was 10. So, and the funny thing is that, well, the thing is that I'm still catching the lobsters in the same place where my father told me, and using the same techniques. It's the 15th of June, and today is exactly 6 months since I had my stroke. And in many respects, I'm still not any the wiser about why I had it. Well, I think the reason was that I had had an enormous block. I was unable to write. I had about 3 outstanding commissions which I hadn't written out. One for the National Theatre, one for the theatre at Plymouth, and a string play. And in many respects, I'm very lucky, because if I hadn't have had my stroke, I reckon I would still be in the same position as I was 6 months ago.
I think one thing that I do, I miss his voice. There was a friend of ours made a film, which he was in, which we were all in this house, 2 years before he had his stroke, and I can't watch that film anymore because
you're starting?
This morning we did something which I was slightly worried about, that I was not going to be able to do. And actually, ever since I had my stroke, I've been virtually every day thinking to myself, am I going to be able to take the boat out? And this morning we weighed up, and there was not a lot of sea, not much wind, and the sea was down. So we thought, yeah, today's the day to try. And as soon as we were at sea, I thought, what have I been worried about? Because everything was all right, and it was perfect. We shot a pot and got a new pot and put it into Jan Levitin's, just the same as before I had my stroke. And so there's no better feel in the world that I have now than to know that I'm going to be able to go fishing again. I don't know quite how to extreme it, but just bear it in mind that is fingal bandy thingies, and woo hoo, yep. Wow, wow, yeah.
The other day, I actually sat down and managed to read one whole article without stopping. And I went right to the very end, and I understand everything that was in this thing. And that was the very first time, and I haven't done it since, that I did it. And so I feel that I'm getting really well done
good.
On that.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I haven't seen you for, 4 or 5 weeks? Mm. And it really, I'm just sitting here thinking, wow. Because when you said, oh, I'm getting my voice back, I'm thinking, yeah, because you're so much more fluent.
You know, the obvious thing for me is to exploit it and say, well, you know, let's... write a play about it in the future. In fact, I've got a great play coming up about somebody who's had a stroke. So it's all there, and I've been going back and making notes.
Good. So, in summary, massive progress made. So where do we go from here? Obviously, this is going to be my last session with you today.
And it's purely the practical side of sitting down and writing something, which is actually getting so much better and so much stronger by the day. So I've got ideas coming out of every orifice, so to speak, and particularly the play about the brain. And I can't wait to get that character, Mr. Brain, pinned out like a moth on a thing, saying, right, Mr. Brain, I'm going to be telling you what... you're getting yours now, Mr. Brain.
Hello? It's Nick here. Hello?
You know, losing your speech, it's a loss, isn't it? It's a bereavement. So, I mean, it's never going to go away. And I think there will be times where he has a crisis.
I hope not. if you do want me to speak any more, I'm quite happy to do it. All right then. Okay. Bye. You know, it sounds stupid and silly, but if actually there is quite a serious intent. But, you know, there will be a play out of it in the end. The body is a quite interesting character because he's a bit superior and he thinks that the brain isn't pulling his weight at all, whereas the body is saying, look at me, I can do this, I can do that, I can walk now perfectly and I can do all these things like build and fishing and doing all this. And what can you do? You can't even speak. You know, come on, get a handle on this, Mr. Brain, because I'm well ahead of you. You know, I'm so privileged. Look at me, where I live, you know, on a beach, for God's sake. I can go out and catch lobsters, crabs, bass. You know, these fish, I can take them out, literally pick them out of the sea. I'm just so privileged in so many ways. And also, I've got literally a new lease of life with my work. I've started again, and I've got nothing to complain about, nothing whatsoever. There was one guy who must be about my age walking up and down the ward, and he came up to me and said, he said, look at me, he said, see me, he said, walking up and down. I said, yeah. He said, look at this, he said, see that? And he showed me his hand. And he held it up, and I thought, yeah. And he said, 6 weeks ago, he said, I was just like you, he said. Now look at me. He said, don't worry. And he said something which all the other people couldn't say. Don't worry, you know, it'll get back. You'll get it back. And, well... You can see. Don't worry. It's joy. It's not. But you can see the effect that had. Huh.